You need to check levels?
Nope. We on?
Well, that was abrupt.
Yeah, well.
Let's get to it.
Evidently, we are getting to it.
Like it.
Back in Mark's garage, we had a two-week layoff.
We did. Well, one night we thought it was going to, last week we thought it was supposed to be basically a hurricane, and it didn't ever even.
That happens a lot in Austin. Like, they'll be, you know, having all kinds of severe weather alerts, and then the skies just part when they get to the metro area.
Yeah. Well, tonight, it actually is raining.
It literally is raining, yeah, so who knows?
It's a riveting conversation.
Maybe we brought the rain.
Probably, so I'm sure that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Should we, you know, let's address the elephant in the room that we don't have Kevin this week. He's on vacation. And
well, it's weird that you say elephant in the room because he is of Indian extraction.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that.
We got Ganesh over here.
Hello, how are you doing?
No, Phil Jarapu is back.
Phil's back. Yay. Hey. Phil, how have you been? It's been a few months.
Oh, it's been good. You know, just did a long-term sub gig. Teaching over at Ann Richards All Girls School.
Teaching music?
Yeah, teaching choir. Actually, for the girl who, she used to be my student teacher, and she popped out a kid, and so I ended up teaching at this All Girls School.
You just keep getting work whenever people have babies, and
pretty much,
man about town.
Yeah, it's like a conspiracy. You know? It's like sabotaging their birth control with sugar pills,
just so I can get a payday.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen now. Now that we've established the fact that it's going to be a different lineup tonight, let's play some
Kevin,
music.
Kevin's been traveling, and will join us.
Where did he go anyway?
Key West, Florida,
with two
with a
tiny children,
4 year old, and then like a
they got a Disney World there now.
That's that. It's kind of like, isn't Key West kind of like Disneyland for white trash alcoholic people?
You're gonna have to ask Kevin about that.
Okay. We will. We'll talk about it next week. But anyway, let's get to the task at hand. For now, I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Phil.
I'm Mark.
And this is Somebody Likes It. Today, I'm going to be doing the last segment, A Current Affair, which is usually, unless it's Ryan's week, we pick a song that's supposed to have been released within the last year.
Unless it's Ryan's week.
Ryan has a problem determining when songs are released.
I pick songs that I learned in the last year.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you that.
The internet moves fast.
That's true. Yeah, it's changed the game.
Yeah.
But speaking of moving fast, I forgot about this, and for months... I kept putting it on my radar and then just forgetting about it, but I'm getting to it finally now, about 7 months after the fact. But it'll start, and this has to do with what I'm going to be, the song that I picked for A Current Affair is the song that revolves around this. In the AV Club headline that I first read when I heard about this was...
AV Club being The Onion's...
The Onion's companion.
Yeah, like their serious side, but it's about music and film.
Music, film, books, TV... And so the headline is Mark Kozlik is having a hilarious fight with the War on Drugs, the band The War on Drugs.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Kozlik from Red House Painters and Sun Kill Moon. And so I'll just we'll talk a little more about this later. But apparently, last fall they were both playing the Ottawa Folk Festival, and he was about to start a song, and the War on Drugs music came up the hill. And he was like, "Who the fuck is this?" And somebody told him it was the War. Oh no, he goes, "What the fuck is this beer commercial lead guitar shit?" And they told him it was the War on Drugs, and then he said, "Well, the War on Drugs can suck my fucking cock." And then like went into, "Oh, the next song I'm gonna play is the War on Drugs can suck my fucking cock." So anyway, they had this bizarre feud that
Except
Mark Kozlik.
The War on Drugs didn't really participate.
No, they not. Now they've responded to it because he just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. But anyway, he eventually did go and write a pretty hilarious song called "The War on Drugs Can Suck My Cock," and we're gonna listen to it today.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we'll talk more about the war on drugs and. Oh, he described their he hadn't even heard their music before anyway, right?
Right.
And then he finally checked it out, and he said it sounds like quote And it's pretty on the money. Don Henley meets John Cougar meets Dire Straits meets Born in the USA era Bruce Springsteen, adding that this isn't a criticism, merely an observation. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but Ryan, you picked this week's album.
I did, a record I'd heard about a lot, and it turns out a record I'd heard a lot of already.
Yeah.
But not in album order?
But not all together at the same time. Which is another thing that I'll talk about. But it's the Ramones' Rocket to Russia.
Can I say one thing about this album? And, I mean, I'm sure you guys will... You might agree, you might disagree. But one... And and I'll let you get back on... I just want to make one statement real quick before I forget this. One thing that I can say about this record is it's definitely a Ramones record.
Well, and they don't have a lot of range.
That's my point.
Yeah, let's be honest here. I mean, a Ramones record sounds like a Ramones record sounds like a Ramones record.
It's
like,
great.
Yeah, they probably wrote 7 or 8 songs in their career and just kind of did little variations on them.
It's hard to argue.
I mean, no, and like no, it's weird for a band that's that. I mean, they're so original in their thing
in the context
in
of
in the context of the music world at large. Yeah. Like they're very distinct from everybody else. However. Like
you know a Ramones song when you hear a Ramones song, but you don't always know. You don't always know which Ramones song it is.
No. In that way, it's kind of like Chuck Berry. Like you know, you listen to the beginning of Johnny Be Good, and you're like, "Oh, it's not." It's like he used that intro like 4 or 5 times just on like the Great 28.
That's a great point, bringing up Chuck Berry, because that you are totally right about that.
Well, and I know that Shane's going to have some things to say about this because a great deal of this record is just like 50s pop songs.
Man, that's my least favorite part about the Ramones is when they do covers.
I thought that would be like one of the unifying factors. It's kind of like I'm listening to this album. I love this album. I love this band. And I also love 50s pop and rock. But I'm like, I'm listening to it. I'm like, this is just a feel-good album. Everybody's going to love this album. We're not going to have anything to talk about except like, wow, this album fucking rocks. It's great.
It's a good album, and it is. We've talked about this before, but you know, like about Yo La Tengo, but the Ramones are nothing if not the model of consistency.
They did their thing.
Are they polarizing?
No, I don't.
I wouldn't say that. Like, well, they ended up on like a spin like best of list, like when Spin turned like 7 or something. Like, what are the best 7 bands ever? And one of them said was the Ramones, and I remember them saying in the reviews, like, you know, like, well, all their records sounded the same, but they were all still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean by model of consistency, is that, again, like I made the crack in the beginning about how it's definitely a Ramones album.
As a business model, that's a smart thing. It's like, you know, Coke is Coke. You try and make new Coke.
Well, as a business model, it wasn't necessarily that thing. I mean, they got to a certain level of success, but like they always were just shy of the brass ring.
Which is crazy for me. I remember hearing that they only had one gold album, but they were ubiquitous for a period of time. I mean, in my life.
They were on tour for like 22 years.
Well, listen, and I want to listen to one of these songs real quick, but before we do that, I want to point out, and you brought this up, but I want to return for a minute about how I'm going to have a lot to say about the 50s and stuff. One of the songs that I think personifies the what I fucking hate the most about that era in music, the cutesiness of like, splish, splash, I was taking a bath, is the fucking...
Surfing bird.
The bird. They're fucking... Yeah. What the fuck? I mean, why would you... Why would you want to jam that in your ears?
Well, that song's just a little Funny Bones classic kind of... I mean, it's the same thing.
There's a lot of surf theme on this album as well, and that plays into it.
Right. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, but surf rock.
I like it. It's funny. It rocks. You know, but I'm also very possibly listening to this in the context of like me being 3 years old. You know what I mean? Like the things that you love at a younger age, like when you listen to them at an older age.
You still love them.
Right. It's a referential memory, and you're transported back to them. And it's just like, I loved that song since I was a kid.
A lot of that is true, but I do distinctly remember really liking the soundtrack to the movie Grease when I was like 5, and I don't like it anymore.
Ryan, why don't we hear Little Ramones? I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this record has at least a passing familiarity with the sound of the Ramones.
Well, I do. Okay, so the one I want to get into is the first track on the record, Cretin Hop.
It's a great song.
And it is. And it's among three that I think they just knock it out of the park with.
On this album?
On this record. And we'll get into that. I actually don't want to listen to all three if we're only just doing three cuts, but...
But they're so short, we could listen to a bunch.
We could listen to the whole album and still have like 20 minutes to fill.
Yeah,
like literally.
I love that.
Well, we might end up doing four, but I definitely want to get into Cretin Hop for a couple reasons, and we'll get into that on the other side of listening to it a little bit. A little bit of Cretin Hop there, which I think really sets the tone for the record.
That's a great first song.
And it was one of the songs that I knew already. I didn't know it was actually on this record. But the overarching theme and word that kept coming back to me as I listened to this record, and I did many times since we had 2 weeks to absorb it, was scuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
So, just for fun, looked up the word Cretin in the Merriam-Webster app on my phone. And sure enough, one of the synonyms that comes up is scuzzball, as well as ratfink, scumbag, sleazebag, sleazeball, slimeball, stinker.
You know, these are all epithets that should be brought back. The word slimeball should be daily. Thrown around more often.
It's like Cretin is like a politically correct way to call somebody a sleazeball.
Yeah, well, the actual definition, the number two is a stupid, vulgar, or insensitive person, a clod, or a lout. But actually, the first definition is kind of awful. It's one afflicted with cretinism, which if you click on that...
is a disease.
It's a usually congenital, abnormal condition marked by physical stunting and mental retardation caused by severe hypothyroidism. And that sucks for those people. Like, bummer.
What were you saying... Phil, it was named after...
It was named after some Roman Catholic dignitary. There's a street that's got his name in St. Paul, I think.
St. Paul. Yep, it says...
except there's an accent on it, on his name.
So wait, Cretin was a person?
Cretin.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Cretin.
Yeah, Cretin was a person.
Yeah, like Cretin. French.
Cretin.
Cretin.
No.
On. Yeah, you put them on yourself.
Are we really going to go back and forth like a game of Pong?
Well, Mark's of French extraction, right? Was that a French word?
Anyhow, they named it after that guy, and they called their fans Cretins, and then they would like...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you know, like the punk version of Parrot Heads or something, and then they would like... I think this is the song that started pogo dancing at punk shows.
I could definitely see somebody pogo dancing to this song.
Certain band would pogo while they're
I really think it's cool the way that the chorus is just one word, Cretin, but he like stretches it out into a four-syllable word, basically.
Yeah.
Like, Cretin. But it's still super catchy. You take one song.
No, try not to smile while listening to this song.
No, it's great. Impossible. And also, you can it's in my head right now. I'm just singing it to myself, you know.
It'll be there later in the week, too.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the Ramones, like what they were really good at. But I will say this, and there are very few Ramones songs that I can think of that I just don't like. At least the pre-80s or pre-mid-80s Ramones, but maybe all the way through their career. But... they are another band that, and you know, Ramones Mania did this, but are really great for greatest hits albums.
Yeah, well, that's how I knew most of the stuff in their canon was from Ramon's Mania.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the other thing. I couldn't listen to this album all the way through. Like, I don't think they're meant to be heard.
It's
like an entire album at a time. I get that it's not that long.
It starts to blend in.
But yeah, after three or four songs, I'm like, oh yeah, another Ramones song.
I love it.
And I'll go listen to something else, and then I'll come back to it. And I'm like, I can get through three or four and really appreciate them for what they are.
Like, them and the early Beatles albums are like hugely influential on the length of my album. I was like, nope, I'm gonna under a half hour. That's what I'm shooting for. And I did it. And I was really, really, really pleased with that.
Well, you're Mr. Power Pop, so that's true. That makes a certain amount of sense.
It's good music. I don't think that anybody, it's one of those, like if you go to the mid 70s punk, you know, not genre, but I mean, at the time, like as it were at that time, I mean, I can, there, you know, not everybody's going to like the Damned. Not everybody's going to like the Sex Pistols. Granted, that was a different sort of punk music.
For sure.
But, like, who doesn't like the Ramones?
I don't know anyone.
Tony Bongiovi?
Oh, yeah, brother of John.
No, no, no. Cousin.
Cousin.
Of John Bongiovi. So, Bongiovi, they record. I know they mixed the record in his studio. Or they mastered it there. Did they record it there?
They recorded it elsewhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, I just love the fact that, like, somehow, somewhere, Bon Jovi is connected to the Ramones.
Does that give him more cred or less cred?
It just gives me a warm feeling.
Yeah.
You know, just to know that some of the worst music made ever and some of the more entertaining music made ever
has a weird connection.
Has a weird connection. Any connection is good enough for me, frankly, to link Bon Jovi and the Ramones.
Right.
Like, can you imagine that? I would go to see Bon Jovi.
Is this like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon for the rock
yes,
and roll
it is.
World?
But think about this. Think about if the Ramones opened for Bon Jovi, I would go just to see the mix of people.
Oh, people that would show up. I mean, are there people in the twain?
Very little. I think that the Venn diagram is
it's really thin.
It's really, yeah. All right. Well, all right, hey.
Well, Mark's pointing at me, and so I do at this point.
I love how he points at you, like when we can have more time to wrap it up. Stop pointing at us in the beginning of the show when we need to know that we're on the air.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We're being scuzzy today.
Are we?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So the next song I wanted to play a little bit of does two things. It illustrates sort of their like 50s pop sensibility, all, you know, dirtied up and made punk. But it also starts with the answer to one of my favorite rock and roll jokes, which is, how many punk rockers does it take to change a light bulb?
1, 2, 3, 4...
Rockaway Beach is actually the name that I don't know that I necessarily brought that up, but I don't think you can listen to that song and not know that it's called Rockaway Beach.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's... If you don't know that it's called Rockaway Beach, if you like call into a radio station and request a song, that's what you
know. Yeah, it goes like this. Rock, rock, Rockaway Beach, rock, rock, Rockaway Beach. We can hitch a ride to Rockaway Beach. Yeah, Do you know what that song's called?
Do you know what that song's called? That's a good so basically at this point you've gone chronologically into tracks on this album, and both home run songs, I think we'd all agree there.
I'm actually a little surprised that you like Rockaway Beach as much as you
great.
Do, because I do think it harkens back to the 50s a little bit more.
As much as I said earlier about not liking the 50s and the doo-wop stuff, There's something that becomes very distinctly Ramones about it a lot of the time when they do it. like when they do their own version
of it. They put it through a Ramones filter.
Right.
Which speeds it up.
To me, it's like this is a Beach Boys song through a Ramones filter.
Yeah, I'm cool. I mean, I'm cool with that. It's when they cover songs that they're put them through the Ramones meat grinder that it's just not as effective for me. I don't like it as much. But I think a lot of
times. But you don't like the originals either?
But I don't like the originals. That's what I'm saying. So that might be part of what it is.
Are there songs that, like, the cover is better? I'm sure I've got some that the cover is better than the original.
Oh, yeah, man.
There's plenty. There's certain artists where that's not true.
So All Along the Watchtower would be a good example of that.
Ramones cover.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. Yeah, I mean.
What, people who have covered the Ramones?
No, what would be a good song for the Ramones to cover?
Oh, you know what?
For the Ramones to cover?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you. I think that I Don't Want to Grow Up was a great cover that they did.
It was a Tom Waits song,
It's a Tom Waits song, yeah, but they weren't going back to the fucking 50s.
Well, and it had that word that keeps recurring in all, not all Ramones songs, but a lot. Somebody at some point should count up, and maybe
Wanna?
This has happened. Wanna.
Wanna, yes.
Yeah, they were really fond of that word.
Hey, she's a babe.
She's Wanna? A babe.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
Somebody's got to take the place.
Are you sure
Kevin?
You don't have a kid somewhere?
Yeah, no shit, man. Right. Thank you, Mark, for pointing that out. Like, the dad humor. Like, we can't even. As long it's like if you sit.
He's like
in that chair.
Kevin.
If you sit in that chair on that side of the table, then you get
dad joke mantle.
Your humor just reverts to puns at some point.
Yeah, you might be needing to check with some exes and. Make sure you don't have a paternity test coming up.
Well, since we're moving on down the line here, we're gonna come up to our intermission, which Phil has this week, and so
well, Phil was kind of waffling. Like he came in with an idea, and I don't know if it's changed
right.
or not.
Well, I mean, I don't know. But maybe.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we play the intermission music and we'll have a little discussion about the possibility that he'll be changing his
song. Right, we might call an audible from the line of scrimmage.
All right.
That's
All right.
A good analogy, yes.
All right, it's a few minutes with.
All right, so we are going to call an audible from the line of scrimmage. I was going to play a song that I really have been digging the hell out of by a band I've really been digging the hell out of. But then...
Well, save it for your next appearance.
Well, that's the thing. Like, when Shane first called me up and he was like, we're going to do... And it was this album that I really, really love.
Yeah, don't tell them because they don't know.
Right, but we didn't end up doing that. And then it was going to be something else, but then we didn't do that. And then it was going to be Rocket to Russia. You know, so it's like... when I had first come up with what I was going to do, it was in the context of two albums ago that we were going to do. So in honor of the fact that the Ramones are delightfully idiotic, like so stupid. I love them. You know, it's like, and I think of myself as a pretty brainy guy, but like, man, like I listen to a song like Now I Want to Sniff Some Glue, and I love it. I know it's idiotic. I know it's just downright insulting to
but
my intelligence.
I think it's great, though. I think it's great to have those sort of
right. And so that's the thing. It's like. Maybe
you don't always want to watch Downton Abbey. Sometimes,
I want to watch a James Bond movie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. It doesn't all have to be Twin Peaks. But like, okay, so listening to you say how you didn't always like or mostly don't like 50s pop, and I like a lot of it because maybe it's innocent or it's catchy or it's stupid but not insulting or whatever. I don't know why. You know, maybe it's got deep-seated things as being the child of an immigrant. Who knows? I don't know.
I fall more on your side for what it's worth.
There's a lot of songs on the radio that are, like, you know, they are pre-digested pap lyrically. They're created for you to get stuck in your head, much like Rockaway Beach. But they make me angry, angry, angry. And this is kind of one of those. This would be
I
bad.
I can't wait to hear it.
Bad
yeah,
idiotic.
I just know the title.
Yeah, why don't we?
The song is called Smell Your Dick by Risqué.
Which, I got to say, if the Ramones covered it, it would be I Want to Smell Your Dick.
This would be a great cover for them. If the Ramones did it, I'd probably like it a lot more.
I mean, all I know about this song at this point is that her name is Risqué, spelled R-A-S-K-A-Y, and the name of the song is Smell Your Dick. So I'm anticipating a treat.
We have a video for this queued up, Mark.
Yeah,
let's
watch this video, Mark, and come back, and we'll talk about it.
DJ Quest, stupid.
Nigga, this is 15 motherfucking time that I called and left your ass messages. I done text your bitch ass, and you ain't responding to nothing. What the fuck is you doing? Who the fuck is you out there with? You think I'm stupid? My girls already done put me up on your ass tonight, nigga. When you get home, I got some news for your bitch ass.
Why are you Something's going on, can I smell your dick? Don't play me like a fool, cause that ain't cool. So what you need to do is let me smell your dick. Why you coming home 5 in the morning? Something's going on, can I smell your dick? Don't play me like a fool, cause that ain't cool. So what you need to do is let me smell your dick. It's 4 o'clock and I'm sleeping.
Dear Lord, okay.
Yeah, what do you even say to that?
Man.
I've never heard that song before.
How have we not heard this?
I know. Thank you for saying that. I can't believe it. It only came out in 2008. So, like, you know, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, I've never even heard a note of it before.
I do want to point out that Smell Yo Dick, is it Yoda?
It's Yo Dick.
Okay.
Yeah.
They use dick in a number of different ways. Like, they use it as a verb at some point, or she uses it as a verb at some point. And I appreciate that reappropriation, like, you know,
right.
Dicking
it's not
around
always
or whatever. But, like, do you want to explain what the song's about, Phil?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, she wakes up. It's late, or at this point, I guess early, and he's not there. So he eventually drags in even later / earlier. And she calls him on his shit and says, drop your pants and let me smell your dick.
Yeah, he wants to make sure his dick had not...
hasn't been in another woman.
Yes. Exactly.
Because I think that needs to be pointed out.
Right.
Because if anything, the song is a succinct summation of the trials and tribulations that one encounters on a daily basis in a marriage.
In a long-term relationship.
In a long-term relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Really, what he should have done is dropped his drawers right there and be like, look, brute, essence of man.
Well, the thing is, and now that's interesting that you say that, because there's a twist at the end of the video that's not really a twist, that it's partially...
It's like an M. Night Shyamalan Latter-day twist.
Yeah, so the guy is in a strip club, but we don't know it, and he definitely has some dancers rubbing against him, but we don't know if it's more like a David Lynchian nightmare scape, because it's kind of fish-eyed a little bit, and maybe this is all taking place within his girlfriend's
head.
Brain.
Yeah.
It's so, but we know he was at that club at the end of it because
he admits to
it. He accidentally leaves his phone behind, his iPhone, as the lights go down.
And that's rough, man. You lose your phone and your girl, like, wants to smell your junk.
I think at one point they actually show one of the dancers taking pictures of herself with his phone, don't they?
No, I think she was implying that was her friend. Because when the guy starts rapping, he's like, okay. Just because one of your friends...
took pictures.
Or says, I was there. Oh, he says, and I don't give a damn what your homegirl seen. When I was in the club, what the fuck you mean? It's...
Well, it's symbolism, really.
Sure, but can I
think
can
it was
just
an easy rhyme.
Can I tell you...
This song is so idiotic.
I can't even understand why you would apply those words to this in any way. There actually are a couple of... all kidding aside, there was one line that I just looked it up that I thought was, like, pretty clever. It's like, just in the context of the song, and that was everything she drank you buying. Like, as it worked in this way. Like, I thought it was clever. As a clever diss, you know? Like... You're buying all her drinks. I don't know. I thought it was, personally.
Well, in the immortal words of, who's it, Nigel,
I like how she
Nigel Tufnell.
To shoot him with her nine.
There's a fine line between clever and stupid.
It's true.
And this, you know what, this song actually embodies that.
I think this song is endemic of a lot of
No, I don't
problems.
Think there's any cleverness other than that in the rest of the song, personally.
Much like the rest of the desert of pop radio right now. But
No, but I don't even think that this even fits in with that. This is like this is analogous in some ways to like, hey, we want some pussy by like Two Live Crew at the time. I mean, it's like almost just like vulgar for vulgar
I would
sake.
Imagine that it would be hard to push this to radio.
Yes, maybe that's probably why. Right. By the way, how did you hear this before?
Okay, so my friend James, who's in the Whiskey Shivers, plays banjo, African American. He covered it. Well, I mean, not at a show. We were just screwing around, and he starts playing banjo. He likes to play like Taylor Swift songs and sing them on banjo, which is pretty humorous when you're looking at
mm-hmm.
an African American guy playing banjo singing Taylor Swift. It's surreal.
That's inherently funny.
I like it.
Yeah.
But he like legitimately loves Taylor Swift. And so like he started playing this song and I'm like, what the fuck is that? And that's how I found it.
I just read something really, excuse me, read something that I thought was funny, and that was that Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman
covered it,
complete with Offerman rapping about his member while, I'm quoting this from Gawker, while Mullally unzips his pants and proceeds to smell it.
Well, I mean, they are married.
It's true.
Thank you for introducing this.
I'll send you a link.
Introducing this to my to
You're
my
welcome.
Life, Phil.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
I like how self-aware it is. Like, it knows it's stupid, right? Does it know it's stupid?
I don't know, and I think that's what makes it, like, if they don't, I mean, I want to think that they do because, you know, the tagline, so, I mean, just basically the premise is, I think you may have fucked another woman, so let me smell your dick.
Well, I just kept like, what happens if you did?
Yeah. Well,
nothing
at
good,
we,
right?
We need to.
Or is that the point where they're like, "Oh, well, thank you for sharing that with me. Now I can trust you."
But we need to point out at least that he didn't let in the video let her smell his dick.
There's no dick smelling.
And she left.
Video.
She just gathers up her clothes, which apparently weren't even enough to keep in a suitcase. So I don't know how solid the ground this relationship.
Well, this
was
like reasonably well produced as a video, and so I just kept flashing to like the video production and like the clapboard where it'll say smell your dick and, like take 3 yeah smell your dick.
Well, that's great, Phil. Thanks
You're
for
quite welcome.
For doing an audible there, and maybe we should get back to the
Ramones.
Let's get back into the Ramones. All right, so we're back to the Ramones, and this whole thing is going to be fun, because Ramones are fun, and apparently smelling dicks is fun for some people.
I don't think there's anything fun about that.
I don't
think
she was really having fun.
No.
Well, it was fun hearing
it. Was
about
fun
it,
to watch it.
Yes.
But anyway. You know, I'm going to say this, like, this is definitely, and because later I'm going to have the war on drugs could suck my cock. So
yeah.
It all ties together.
Guys, if you ever want to tell your mothers to listen to the show,
maybe not this one.
Not this episode.
Not this episode.
This is the extra special.
I don't care if other people's mothers, but not my own mother, I'm going to have to go ahead and discourage.
Maybe that should be in the write-up. So that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm definitely going to put it out there.
NSFM.
Yeah. Not safe for
mothers.
My son does a show. Let's listen to it. It's like with the Bridge Club.
This is so sidebar. This is like me honoring Kevin using that word. But when I met the best friends of David Yao of the Jesus Lizard's parents, like I waited on this like older couple, and they're like, "Oh, what do you do when you're not here?" I was like, "Oh, you know, I kind of work with bands a little bit and manage." Well, our best friends have a son. And he's in a band, and this is like a sweet older couple, like 70 or something. He's in a band called The Jesus Lizard. And I'm like, "You're friends with David Yao's parents?" They're like, "Oh, you know who David is." And I was like, "Yeah, he's kind of famous." They're just like, got the biggest kick out of it. Like, "Oh, look, David's famous. Well, all right." And it was just the sweetest little thing.
I'd love to see them at a Jesus Lizard show.
Yeah, surreal. Right? Well, apparently, and I'm friends with somebody who like knows him really well, and apparently his parents used to come to him.
Wow.
And that's weird. And well, you lived in Chicago, like, yeah. And I guess that's their
considering how many
base.
Of his shows he was fairly unclothed, and I mean completely.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Some people have different relationships with their folks than
yeah.
I.
Yeah.
Very true. Yeah.
But anyway, back to the Ramones. They kind of strike me as a band that, you know, didn't mind what their folks thought.
You know, my favorite thing about the Ramones,
and actually this will tie into the next song that we're going to listen to.
Not my favorite thing about the Ramones, but something I find incredibly interesting, is that not only did Johnny and Joey Ramone basically not speak to each other outside of gigs for 30 or 20 years,
yeah,
but they were polar opposites, like for politically, you know,
right?
And for example, when
somebody in this band a Republican?
Yep,
Johnny was. When they got elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he was praising George W. Bush.
Yep, And not as a joke.
No. And that's what's crazy. And that's part of the reason they hated each other.
No, that's like the, what's the Fred Armisen character from Saturday Night Live? Ian Rubbish.
Yes.
Where, like, yeah, he's just like brilliant. This hardcore punk rocker, but he loves Margaret Thatcher.
Loves Margaret Thatcher.
I didn't see that.
And he writes her a love song. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty true to, like, first wave punk, but the songs are about how much he loves Maggie Thatcher.
Well, I think it's just a very interesting, I'm sure, dichotomy that doesn't really come out in the music or in there. Again, and here's another thing. Like I said, they were the model of consistency earlier. That doesn't just extend to, and we've commented on this earlier, but that doesn't just extend to their songs, but also their names, their leather jackets.
They all like died within a few years of each other.
Man. And that's another thing.
Stuck
to
the end.
Yeah, like
they were not old either.
No, but the big three that stayed constant are from the beginning. You know, like Dee Dee, Joey, and Johnny.
Yeah,
they were all dead within what 4 years of each other.
Something like that. Yeah.
One died in 2000. One died in 2001.
Yeah, Johnny. It was Joey, then Johnny, then Dee Dee OD'd, and then Marky just died last year.
Yeah, cancer, right?
Well, so hey, that's uplifting. Like I guess we're gonna have to bring us. I guess we're gonna have to bring us back down to earth. After
we were talking about punk-ish musicians and their families and what have you. And so it actually does tie into the next song I wanted to listen to from this record, which is "We're a Happy Family," which to me is the most punk thing on this record.
Oh, mm-hmm. I agree.
So let's get into it, and we'll talk about it later.
That was a Ramone song, and
"We're a Happy Family."
Again, a Ramone song. What was I was saying? Like within and a great.
Well,
Ramone song.
What I was saying is it's the most punk rock, at least by the classic definition of the word as we understand it now.
Well, it's ironic. I mean, lyrically.
Yeah, "We're a Happy Family." Well, if you listen to the lyrics, no, they're not.
They're
really.
Not.
Yeah, all kinds of problems.
Yeah, they're dropping pills. Dad's
a closet
dad's,
homosexual.
It's true.
You know, it's like
they're smelling. They're not smelling dicks. My bad.
They might have been smelling dicks in that family. Yeah. It sounds like it would be par for the course.
But doesn't it seem like a kind of like at least in content, lyrical content, not musical content, kind of a kindred spirit with Surrender? Am I wrong about this in thinking
that?
No,
I would
that?
Agree with that.
I actually, that was the first thing I thought the first time I heard it. And I didn't know this song going into listening to this record for this podcast.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, mommy's all right, daddy's all right. They're just a little bit weird. Got my Kiss records out, and like they're kind of getting their freak on or whatever. Yeah, it's about this weird family dynamic.
Yeah,
this
like,
one's a little
like
more
that,
fucked up than like, Surrender.
Yeah, Surrender yeah, but the comes thing, a little bit later in the family relationship, I think.
Yeah, okay, sure. I think Surrender tries to be more winking and less caustic, but it's definitely
the
same thing.
I think
that's
a function of the fact that it's suburban where this is urban.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Cheap Tricks from Rockford, Illinois.
I just
Illinois.
See it as the dissolution of the American nuclear family kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right. It's reactionary.
Yeah.
Much of this music was reactionary.
Which is great. I mean, it's of its time. I mean, New York in the mid-70s. But one of the things that I wanted to...
Well, these guys are from what, Long Island? Is that right?
Nah, Queens.
Queens.
Forest Hills.
All from Queens?
All four of them were from Queens, Forest Hills neighborhood.
I wanted to, which makes it even more interesting that Johnny and Joey were of such different political persuasions. You have the classic New York.
I don't know how a Republican can be in a punk band. Like
I don't know how.
No,
any,
I don't know how you could grow up
that's,
in New York.
That's like trying to take the what is it the same poles of two different magnets
right,
and
put them together.
Yeah.
No. I
just don't understand any musician being like, yeah, Republicans. That's for me.
Hey, by the way, we got to get this all out. if we're talking shit about Republicans before Kevin gets back.
Is he a Republican?
No, he's a centrist is what he is. And so he's a little more cagey about it. We generally don't talk politics around him. And that's okay.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking politics.
I love my brother for who he is and everything, but we don't always see 100% eye to eye.
Which is why we need to get all the political conversation out tonight. Even though I just said that, then we move on to something that has nothing to do with politics.
That's probably for the best. At some point, Kevin will listen to this.
I find Kevin to be quite a humorist, and
he hates that word, by the way, because he thinks it means unfunny comedian, which he's right. If you like people who are labeled humorist, they tend to get up and just tell like. Generally, somewhat amusing stories about themselves.
No, I think the only person that was ever labeled a humorist this is Will Rogers. Will Rogers was pretty funny, but okay. Dee Dee Ramone wrote most of these songs, even when he left the band to engage in a rap career. Do you guys remember that?
No,
86-ish.
No, late '80s, early '90s, dude. Like he left the band, but later in like '92, he put out a rap.
Right, album. I remember hints of that.
Were they like a lot higher tempo rap songs?
I actually never, and I kept meaning to listen to Dee Dee Ramone rap songs.
Did he put them out under the name Dee Dee Ramone?
Well, when I read I remember reading articles at the time about it, and it was definitely like Dee Dee Ramone. Like you knew who he was,
DJ Dee Dee.
Is that what it was?
Man, I didn't like it when Blondie did Rapture. Why would I like Dee Dee Ramone?
Oh, you don't like Rapture?
No.
I hate Rapture. I'm totally on the same page.
High five. It's
Mark, are you
idiotic.
With me? I love that song.
No. I love that whole song is brilliant. Brilliant. Up until she raps.
Oh, no, the rap, it's an awkward rap.
And the man from Mars, he's crunching cars or eating cars.
Man,
and,
that video is horrible, too.
Go to bars where people meet, dance cheek to cheek. Like, no, I it's a really stupid
like
rap.
Song,
but
and
it's,
I hate the rap.
It's from such really the early like period of
the video,
there being any
man.
Rap in
the
world.
Stupid.
With the Uncle Tom black guy in the gold lame suit marching around like the Pied Piper, like, follow me to hip urban sounds.
Well, but it's got a cool, like, that...
It's a good, genuinely good song. I can really understand you thinking the rap is really stupid, because it is.
It makes it almost...
But it's so entertaining. We were talking about the Ramones.
Yes.
Although Blondie does tie into them a little bit in the whole CBGB.
D.D. King. His name was D.D. King, I think.
Plan BB?
Probably, I'm assuming. If nothing else, they definitely had a way with co-opting other bands.
I was
bands.
Trying to look that up, and it kept autocorrecting Ramone to famine.
they were all super skinny, so you'll have that, I guess.
Well, I did, and I think it's just funny that even after he left, and it had a very, 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 very
remarkably similar sound,
remarkably brief career as a rapper, as evidenced by the fact that none of you guys in Phil, who is a huge,
I refused,
he has never heard any of it. But he continued to write songs for the Ramones, even for basically up until they ended.
No shit.
Yeah, like he was their main songwriter.
Left the band.
Left
continued
the band.
To be the main songwriter.
Continued to not make money writing these songs.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean,
he probably made some money. This was back when people actually like. I mean, granted, they didn't sell a shit ton of records.
They
but
made
they sold
some
the
royalties.
More than most.
You know where they really made their royalties is T-shirts.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll bet they're.
Their money from Hot Topic t-shirt sales exceeds
I'll
their,
bet there's
their
a significant portion of teenage kids wearing Ramones t-shirts who have never actually heard the Ramones.
Except for maybe Blitzkrieg Bop, because that keeps getting used.
Well, is it Vacation? Like National Lampoon's Vacation? Like this is the first time I ever heard that song.
Yeah.
When I was very
I Want to Be Sedated would probably eclipse Blitzkrieg Bop.
I would
but
say they're
both
neck
of those
neck.
Songs. But and Sheen is a punk rocker. I mean,
I think this was their highest charting album at 49.
It was their highest charting album.
Well, and so you brought up Sheena's a punk rocker, and I think we were talking about maybe doing one more. And
I love that song.
Yeah, no, it's a great tune. And so why don't we get into that?
Well, if the kids are all hopped up and ready to go, they're ready to go now. But you just couldn't stand. She had to break away.
week. Thank you, Shane. But yeah,
I had to pick up the baton.
Yeah, Sheena is a punk rocker. Illustrates, which is what that song was, illustrates a few things that are endemic about the Ramones and about this record. It kind of mixes like the 50s thing plus like the scuzzy punk thing. Plus they just have such Ramonesian lyrics.
It's the Ramones. That's the thing. Like, I guess like it's hard for me to put that into a
punk band singing Sheena is a punk rocker. Also, this sounds like Rock and Roll High School. It sounds like
Rock and Roll High School.
I want to be sedated. Like,
there's nobody. There's a lot of punk bands that ape a lot of punk bands, but nobody really ever tries to just ape the Ramones because they're the fucking Ramones.
They would be called out on it instantly.
They're in the punk rock DNA of any
whatever
punk band.
That means. Because when you think about it too, like punk is such a weird genre because at the beginning there were so many things that were called punk and so diverse.
Sure. Okay. So let me back up.
If we back this up, like you had MC5. And New York Dolls.
Well, they're supposed to be proto-punk.
Then,
yeah.
Well, that's like proto-punk. And then, like, you got
the
to,
first
like,
album that
like
was
the Clash.
Kind of, well, even before that, like the first major label money that went to a supposedly punk artist was Patti Smith for the album Horses.
Which that
can
doesn't
we,
sound
can
punk
we have
to
a little
me
bit
at all.
Of...
But mentally, it is because that's the thing. Back then, punk wasn't. It wasn't what it was.
Can we have a little chronological?
Patti Smith Horses was 75. MC5 was Detroit late 60s.
Well, and the word came in from a zine that a couple people together, and I can't remember who it is, and I should have done my
research.
Man,
that's journalism. It's that journalism bullshit. It happened in 91.
It was
why are we having this conversation? And it's just, you guys
because,
just need to calm down.
Yeah. I mean, well, we're talking about, like, you know, punk DNA, but nobody copies.
It's semantics.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say punk DNA, I guess let me just back up and say,
is punk a sound or is punk?
Okay, well, that's. I mean, let me. So this is what I was trying to say before you and Ryan just went at it with, you know, the night of long knives. There is that. What I should have said is our collective musical DNA. I mean, like the Ramones are. Or have remained fairly ubiquitous throughout my life.
Sure.
And not just because this tends to be the sort of genres of music that I'm drawn toward, because it's fucking everywhere. I mean, Wes Anderson movies,
yep.
National Lampoon's Vacation,
Taco Bell commercial,
just all over the place. So I guess, like, what I mean is that, like, they are... And earlier in the show when I'm saying, well, you know a Ramones song... Like,
when you hear it.
Yeah, I mean... The Ramones are the Ramones are the Ramones, and again, the model of consistency thing. So maybe I should have said the collective. There are a lot of ideas to be parsed in the idea, like, what is punk DNA?
For
like,
sure.
What is punk music? I mean, you know, California hardcore is what I thought was punk until I was in my 20s. And then I'm like, oh,
that's
wait.
That's like second wave.
I know, punk, but yeah. That's what I grew up around, like, skaters, and that's what they listened to, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, and then also then Minor Threat and stuff. You know, so there's like a lot of different...
Right, the whole DC thing was completely
different
than
totally
the West Coast
different.
Thing.
Yeah, but anyway.
And the American thing was totally different than the British thing in the first wave.
It's true. It's true.
You know, and then you look at all the bands that came up through CBGBs, and it's like, wow, how do you put any of them, like, on a bill together?
Television and Blondie.
Right.
And
Talking Heads.
You know, they were all punk not by... Virtue of the fact
just
of what they
being
sound
like nothing else.
Exactly, it's what they were not. It's like, well, I can't book you anywhere. Well, I can't do anything with you. All right, all you freaks on a bill.
And Max's too.
Yeah, Max's
Kansas City. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, this has been really fun, and I'm glad we had this discussion. And it's funny that you said right in the beginning of the show, you're like, "Of course, everybody loves this record. What are we going to talk about?" But
you guys don't pick songs that you don't pick albums that you love, huh? You just pick
well,
albums that
I
some...
I pick albums that
other people love.
Right, right. But
that I don't necessarily
that you
know.
You don't know. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's fine if our guest
knows it.
Gotcha. But
it makes it no fun for us. Like,
right.
I would love to, don't get me wrong, like, if I could pick, like, Meat Is Murder, like, or Louder Than Bombs, then, you know, like, I would do my homework.
Reading, writing, arithmetic. Or
maybe
sure.
That'll,
yeah.
Maybe that'll be another special episode coming up.
Oh, yeah. I just talked to Matt Munoz, by the way. He's coming back, and we have a little idea about that. So, yeah. It's just a journey.
Just trust me. Nobody would enjoy it if I talked about the...
R.E.M. Fables of the Reconstruction.
Fables of the Reconstruction for an hour. Because they would just be like, who...
Yeah, because then...
Stop, dude.
You just take over, and you talk about... Like, it's fine if we have a guest that comes in, and like he was saying, like...
we've had a few of our guests pick their records, and then we just, you know, we take that football and run with it. You know, but
no, and it's fun to see somebody who like is really conversant with it when we're still relatively new to it. But yeah, it would not make for a good podcast.
Yeah, we're way too into the stuff that we like,
geeky to, about the things yeah, that we're geeky about.
If you guys
about.
Ever do like a roundup of horrible Christmas albums or Christmas songs, I want in.
Actually, we'll talk after the show.
All right, sweet.
No, that's a solid idea.
So Shane, you have teased and teased tonight.
Sure. So well, I teased, but I also we had a pretty considerable discussion on this earlier, and that is the War on Drugs war with Mark Kozlik. Or actually, I should say that
Mark Kozlik.
I should say Mark Kozlik.
Everybody's starting
on. Yeah, and so like.
Well, don't you name check him in the song that the sample for the audio intro, Phil?
That's true.
I'm going to drink that actually.
Sorry. Phil's trying to take the rest of Ryan's
actually
wine.
Take half of it. It's okay. Fine. But no, like in the song that actually the snippet of the theme music, like for this show, Shane actually name checks Mark Kozlik.
That's true. Yes, I do. So I'm a fan of his. But again, I don't think that you have to hate somebody to appreciate the fact that they are a dick.
Acting like a lunatic?
Well, no, I think he is a lunatic. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's very funny to me. Like, his sense of humor, I completely am on board with. Like, if somebody... So, again, this whole thing started where it was at the Ottawa Folk Festival last year, and he was going to play a song, and from another stage, the War on Drugs music wafted over.
So, Ottawa, Canada?
Yes.
I had heard originally this was in, like, North Carolina. No, he...
No. That's what he called everybody them. Fucking
yeah,
hillbillies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a whole...
Dude's on a rampage.
Well, that's in this song. So what we're going to do, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but normally we don't set up the third segment like this, but because there's a lot of backstory to it, I just wanted to talk a minute. So we're going to play you a little clip from... hopefully, if we can find it. Actually, I didn't even think about that. Hopefully, we'll play you a little clip. If not, I'm sure we'll have something good to stand in, and I'll give you a link to go to and check this out. But anyway, so this is Mark Kozlik's War on Drugs Can Suck My Cock.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ari Povich, and welcome to this special edition of A Current Affair.
Up on stage, I heard a classic drum fill, blasting 100 decibels over the hill. It was getting pretty loud, I asked who it was. A guy in a raincoat shouted back the called War on Drugs. It sounded like a basic John Fogerty rock. I said this next song is called The War on Drugs Can Suck My Cock. Suck my cock. War on Drugs. 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 Suck my cock.
So that was Sun Kil Moon, a.k.a. Mark Kozlik, singing War on Drugs, Suck My Cock, which is a completely unprovoked war that he started with the War on Drugs.
It's kind of awesome that he brought diss verses back to rock and roll, really.
Well, there's just so much that's awesome about that. I mean, he approaches and discusses a few other things that happen. And I think he says in the song, like, it's a funny line where he says, like, I met War on Drugs, and they were really nice, but their hair is greasy and long. I hope they don't have lice.
Yeah.
That's a good refrain.
That's a funny little couplet there, but it's just so
the way
shitty.
It functions in the middle of the song.
So.
Well,
funny.
It's like what did they ever do to him?
That
like,
nothing. That's what makes it so funny.
They're
that,
actually fans.
It's a musical non sequitur.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're fans. I mean,
they
I know,
said they
I don't
were
know that Adam Granofsky is, but
who's the main writer, songwriter, singer for the band. But I do know that he didn't, or they wouldn't respond to Kozlik's unprovoked attacks. That just, like, to me, again, like, it just gets funnier and funnier.
Well,
because
I have two questions. A, do we know that if Mark Kozlik is a narcotics enthusiast, and B, could this possibly be an intentional double entendre?
He's actually sober. He's a recovering heroin addict from years and years ago.
Okay, so, well, I mean, he was certainly a narcotics enthusiast.
Oh, I don't think the name has anything to do with it. Well, like, he has an actual war on drugs. Like,
war on drugs.
He's fucking Mark Kozlik. He's just he's an interesting human being, and he's got an interesting sense of humor. But I want to read you a couple of things. So remember what I was saying before? He's like, who's playing this beer commercial lead guitar? Which he references in the song, by the way. And here is, like, part of Adam Godofsky's, it's an interview for Songs for Whoever. And this is, like, some things that he says. And it's interesting because it starts ramping up. I was just bummed. I went to a mutual friend who explained that he wouldn't give out his email address, his being Mark's. So I just got an email through this friend that said, Mark wants to come to the Fillmore. He will write a song called War on Drugs Sucks My Cock. You back him up on it, and he gets to play beer commercial guitar. Then you back him up on one of his songs from his new album, and then he plays beer commercial guitar. This is in quotes, beer commercial guitar, on one of your songs. This is a real thing that comes from a third party.
This is the most bizarre cross-promotional scheme I've ever heard.
Everything about it is bizarre. And so then it continues. This is a quote from Godofsky. We were on tour, and I thought, quote, this is actually a pretty cool idea. I don't have anything against this guy. This is cool. So I was really excited and was going to write him back in a couple of days because I was busy at the time. Hold on one sec. Sorry. All of a sudden, stuck in my throat. Then 2 days later, I got an email back from him saying, the offer has expired. Maybe when I get home from tour, I'll go to Starbucks and buy your record.
Oh, damn.
Quote. I was like, you're such a fucking prick, dude. He was such an asshole. I didn't even say anything. Then he goes to the internet and he challenges us to this thing. But I was like, you fucking prick. You already said no. He's such a fucking child. And then this song is just idiotic. He's just a fucking idiot. I don't have time for idiots. I'm just pissed that he tried to make it come out like he was challenging us. I was already essentially agreed to it. And then the Starbucks comment, what the fuck, dude? Get over your fucking self.
Well, okay. To me, it sounds like Mark Kozlik is...
Weird
and obnoxious. Clever and smart and obnoxious and all those things. And the War on Drugs just sound like a bunch of nice dudes whose music is not the greatest, but it's not, to me, offensive in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Islander stuff.
Right.
Like.
No. That's the takeaway from this for me. Oh, my God. I managed to work in...
Just a bunch of hardworking, nice guys. Like, this guy comes out of nowhere and, like...
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I walk away from this, like, having... I'm infinitely more interested in Kozlik's canon. Though I don't think the War on Drugs, like I said, they have some amazing songs. It's not my thing. I do agree with the Fogerty.
It's modern. It's modern classic rock.
Yeah. But they do some interesting, cool things.
But they're not you know, hurting anybody.
They stretch out chorus. They don't have a really easy verse chorus.
There's so much
structure
on the radio. I would rather listen to the War on Drugs over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not to say
one of the better bands that's out today, but not in the elite. Like,
right, in your mind. And yet,
both of these bands made a bunch of, like, end-of-the-year lists for a bunch of press for their albums.
That's true.
Well, and I think that's why Kevin gave me that record, is, like, it landed on a bunch of top 10 lists.
It's a decent album. I mean, it's... but, again, I mean, you know, even... Well, just... We're all over the place here, but...
Right.
I have a much longer history with Mark Kozlik's background.
I mean, it's like
catalog,
we're
and it's something
on...
I like a lot more. However, who would I rather hang out with at a party?
I'd rather hang out with
the
Mark Kozlik.
Well, for me, it's the dudes from War on Drugs.
It's like, kind of like I want to be near, but just out of the blast radius.
I think it'd be fun to hang out with Mark Kozlik for about 15 minutes at a party.
I hung out with him for about 15 minutes once, and it seemed like I was getting on his nerves right at the end of it, so I was out of there. Yeah.
What was the line in his song New Jersey from Red House Painters? It's like, You're not as good as your mom, but you're...
You're as bad as your dad.
You're as bad as your dad. You're as good as dead. New Jersey ain't the whole world.
He's brilliant.
Like, that's a fucking good line. And there's also kind of dick.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's kind of his thing. I mean...
And I'm
kind
of interested in watching him melt down.
Well, you guys, listen.
But maybe it's just... maybe it's just he's just riding the PR train.
I don't know if he has a Scott Stapp style meltdown in him.
Yeah, I was going to say, like we keep making the joke about how this is good publicity, but I don't think there's I honestly don't think that there's no way that this is how Mark Koz is going to goose his career.
Like, he and his publicists are getting together and they're like, let's do the fucking weirdest publicity stunt ever.
Not just weirdest, but dickest. I mean, it's a dick move.
It's pretty dick.
Maybe. It's a funny-ass song. By the way, we never even talked about the song. Ugh. The song is hilarious. It's hilarious.
I mean, he disses himself in it, too.
Oh, he disses... Yeah. It's just... It's a funny song. Yourself.
Well, he does call War on Drugs the whitest band...
The whitest band I've ever seen, but that's coming from Mark Kozlik. Yeah. You know, the main song.
Well, to be fair, this song is just a hair away from being a little bluesy. It's not quite, but it you know, like, he's heard some blues, and I don't like the song as much as you do, but...
Oh, I didn't think it's a great song musically. It's just better than I would have expected a song like that to be. Like
for a throwaway
song. Tossed off.
For a throwaway song, yeah.
Yeah, like, fuck you to somebody who doesn't have it coming.
Yeah, like if I were taking a nap, and that song came on, it, you know, I
would... Well, lyrically, it would keep me awake. Musically, I would fall asleep.
Okay. Well, I mean, but that's why I say, like, if I were taking a nap. But a lot of that Red House Painters. Well, anyway, there's a whole other conversation. Phil, thanks for coming in this week covering for Kevin. Are you going to come next week?
Sure.
Because we talked about this before coming in guest next week, because they don't know what I picked yet for.
I love it that you have all these conversations with other people involved in the show, and then I just find out.
Like, well, because you don't need to know. Well,
it keeps
because
it fresh.
Because originally the reason why we had this conversation is we thought last week we would be doing the Ramones record, and this week when he was coming in,
we'd be doing something.
We'd be doing this record.
Yeah.
Which is, I was thinking about skating songs. I thought of two of my favorite roller skating songs in the 80s.
And you mean like skating like a... Like roller skates.
Like a roller rink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I need to somehow incorporate this song. And originally I thought it was going to be a, because it's one that at the time I loved in the 80s.
Yeah.
But now it's
not so much.
One of the worst songs I think I've ever heard in my entire life. And
Xanadu?
No, that's a great song. Mr. Roboto, my least favorite song in a long time, by Styx, was my favorite skating rink song. And
are we going to listen to this whole record?
Kilroy Was Here.
Kilroy Was Here. Yeah, awesome. Which was like a piece of graffiti or something, wasn't it?
It was in World War II. And so then this record sort of has a, well, anyway.
Kilroy Was Here. Kilroy Was Here. Next
I think Kilroy's out there.
Yeah, I do. It's an album by Styx, and it came out in the early 80s, and the thing that I can remember the most about it when I was a kid is that it didn't sell that well for a while, and they slapped a sticker on it that said, there is actual back masking on this album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember seeing the sticker at the Kmart in Kerrville, like, and they had all of the albums, like, because Mr. Roboto, I guess, was like a hit for whatever reason. I loved it when I was, you know.
Domo arigato?
Yeah, thank you very much. In Japanese, that's what that means. So they had these stickers that they put on all these LPs, and they pulled them out, and they said, like, this album contains backmasking.
That's very interesting.
In the early 80s, it was a
bunch of people just ruined their record players trying to listen to a shitty record backwards.
Yeah, and I think that I found that the other night when I was listening to this. I think I found there's, like, one tiny little spot where it goes right in the beginning of the song for about 4 or 5 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Lame.
Which I'm interested now. I haven't gone on the internet and or anywhere to find out what that backmasking
actually
says.
We'll figure it out next week.
I'm pretty sure it's something about Satan eating my heart, but
that's what I would assume. Want to do.
Okay. Well, Phil,
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
It was super
thanks again,
fun.
Phil.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Looks like Molly didn't eat any pencils this week.
No, she
was. Oh, I've heard
good.
About that. I wasn't here for that when I was sick.
They were playing fetch. Yeah, but yeah, that ended up being like full of dicks. This whole episode.
Yeah, that
really
was
did.
A
it was a
episode.
Phallic-centric
I
episode.
Planning on it.
Rest assured, gentlemen, I will put a disclaimer on this week's show write-up that this is a
this isn't the one to tell your mom. check this one out. Yeah. But guys, so hopefully we'll see you back next week for Kilroy Was Here. And so we're going to get out of here. As for now, I'm Shane.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Phil.
I'm Mark.
And this is Somebody Likes It.